Father, we just thank you for tonight. We thank you, Father, for the display, Father, of your spirit and of your power and your anointing that has already happened tonight. We thank you, Lord, that it will continue to happen as we continue to preach your word, the gospel of Jesus Christ, the word of Christ, Father, that builds our faith, Father, so that we can know and we just trust in you. And we just look forward, Father, to seeing many more things take place here and abroad, Father, because of your word and of your blood that was shed upon the cross. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, obviously, in Numbers chapter 13, this actual story has a little bit of significance for me in particular, because this was the passage that basically, when I was reading through it, gave me, it was kind of like the way God's way of saying, this is what I want you to name your son. And this is, I mean, it was always just one of those things that just kind of popped out to me, and the name Caleb, and, you know, and just so many different things that took place when you read through this passage. And I wanted to read it tonight and just give some thoughts about it, because I really, you can see a lot of different parallels that are going on here from the promised land that is for Israel and our promises that we have in Christ Jesus. And the reactions that a lot of people might have to those promises, and the minority reaction is to just believe upon what God has said and what God has done already and what he has promised us. And hopefully tonight you guys will leave here just being more firmly established and realizing how much God loves you and just how much that he wants to take care of you and do things for you because he loves you. And I mean, that's the biggest part about it, is the fact that God loves you guys so much that he at all times just wants to bless you and take care of you. So we're going to start here in verse 1 of chapter 13. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Send men to spy out the land of Canaan, which I am giving to the children of Israel. From each tribe of their fathers you shall send a man, every one a leader among them." So Moses sent from the wilderness of Paran, according to the command of the Lord, all of them, men who were heads of the children of Israel. Now for the next few verses, it lists out the different names of all the different spies that are going to be sent out into Canaan, and so the people can get an idea of what this place is about. It was almost like this was just kind of one of many things that was going to happen for the Israelites, of just having a test of saying, I'm going to send you out. I'm going to let you see what the land is like, see the fruit of the land, let you see the people that are inhabiting the land, and see what your reaction is. Because he'd already said that he was giving this land to Israel. Okay, he had already made that direct command, saying that this land was yours. Okay, so this land was theirs to be possessed, and he wanted them to go and take a look at it and just see how lush of a place this was and how great of a place this was for them. And in verse 2, just before we actually go on, you know, it says, out of the land of Canaan, which I am giving to the children of Israel. You know, this was still a promise that was in their future, not something that had already taken place. But God had said, he had already made that promise. And we all know that God, thank goodness that he is not a man that he should lie. He said that if he said he's going to do something, he's going to do something. And that's exactly what what Caleb and Joshua came back with, because that is exactly what God had promised them, and that is what they expected to happen. So we'll start going in verse 17. After we had listed off all the different spies, it says, "Then Moses sent them to spy out the land of Canaan and said to them, 'Go up this way into the south and go up to the mountains and see what the land is like, whether the people who dwell in it are strong or weak, few or many, whether the land they dwell in is good or bad, whether the cities they inhabit are like camps or strongholds, whether the land is rich or poor, and whether there are forests there or not. Be of good courage and bring some of the fruit of the land.' Now the time was the season of the first ripe grapes. So they went up and spied out the land from the wilderness of Zin as far as Rehob, near the entrance of Hamath. And they went up the south and came to the Hebron, Ahiman, Sheshai, and Talmai, the descendants of Anak, were there. Now Hebron was built 7 years before Zoan in Egypt. Then they came to the valley of Eshcol, and there cut down a branch with one cluster of grapes. They carried it between two of them on a pole. They also brought some of the pomegranates and figs. The place was called the Valley of Eshcol, because of the cluster which the men of Israel cut down there. And they returned from spying out the land after 40 days. Now they departed and came back to Moses and Aaron and all the congregation of the children of Israel in the wilderness of Paran at Kadesh. They brought back word to them and to all the congregation and showed them the fruit of the land. Then they told him and said, "We went to the land where you sent us. It truly flows with milk and honey, and this is its fruit. Nevertheless, the people who dwell in the land are strong. The cities are fortified and are very large. Moreover, we saw the descendants of Anak there. The Amalekites dwell in the land of the south. The Hittites, the Jebusites, and the Amorites dwell in the mountains. And the Canaanites dwell by the sea and along the banks of the Jordan." Then Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, "Let us go up at once and take possession, for we are all well able to overcome it." But the men who had gone up with him said, "We are not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we." And they gave the children of Israel a bad report of the land which they had spied out, saying, "The land through which we have gone as spies is a land that devours its inhabitants, and all the people whom we saw in it are men of great stature. There we saw the giants, the descendants of Anak, came from the giants, and we were like grasshoppers in our own sight, and so we were in their sight." So you see, at the very beginning, he's already talking about how the Lord said that I am giving you this land. And as Moses sends him out, he's given them, you know, a direction of saying, okay, I want you to go and see, does this place have great fruit or does it not have great fruit? What are the inhabitants like? Are they small? Are they great? Are they, you know, is the land, you know, is it like a camp or is it like a fortified city? And basically, it is the way our life is today, to where we have an option of either going one way or another. And whether or not these things look like they're going to be strongholds or whether they look like they're going to be camps, either obstacle is going to be equally as easy for God to overcome. So for us, when we stand in our circumstances and we see things that might seem to be strong, some things might seem to be little, so little things sometimes trip us up. I know that there are sometimes little things in my life that trip me up bigger than the larger things in life that trip me up. But the thing is that we have to trust in the Lord to deliver upon what he has already promised us. And that's what he's asking these people to do. He's asking them, saying, go out, take a look at this. And you know, and in verse 23, chapter 13, it says, "Then they came to the valley of Eshcol, and there cut down a branch with one cluster of grapes. They carried it between two of them on a pole. They also brought some of the pomegranates and figs." Now, I understand that sometimes, if you look, they carried things in between, you know, in between two people with poles. You know, I could be reading a little bit into this, but I mean, this had to also have been a large thing of grapes, okay? So, I mean, obviously this place, even though that it was the ripe, it was the time for these grapes, it was time for the fruit, the land was a very good land. Just like it says, flowing with milk and honey. It was a very prosperous land. It was very fruitful. It was very, it is adequate, definitely, to take care of all the needs of those people. But they were bringing this back, and so they carried it between these two poles. They carried it with the pomegranates and the figs. And so when they're going back with good fruit. Okay, they're going back with the great fruit of the land to show the people of Israel, saying, this is what God has promised us. Okay, so one thing that this has kind of brought forth in my mind is just, this was the evidence of the plush promises that God gave them. Sometimes we can see things that, obviously, like tonight, we can see the power of God moving even in our very presence, but sometimes we still lack that faith later on because for some reason we choose to believe the doubts that are in our heart over the Word of God. For some reason, those things, and for me, it's been more of a learning experience, I know, and I don't know if anybody else has this issue, but you know, I know when for a while, a long time ago, when you'd read the Bible, I would think, man, how dumb can these Israelites be to see all of these great things that God's doing in their presence, and yet they still didn't believe that he could let them into this great land. He had promised them, He had promised to deliver them out of Egypt. He did it. He promised to deliver them out of the hand of the Pharaoh. He did it. He promised to take them out of the land, not poor, but be blessed and have, you know, and basically just plunder the whole, you know, all the Egyptians. And he did every single one of these things. So God is easily being established himself a record of following through on his word. Easily established that record. And for us, I know that every one of us could have a number of different testimonies that we could give about how God has given us exactly what he told us he will give us in his word. So that when we walk by faith, we see the results of faith, but sometimes we still struggle with those little things that come along. And I know for me, it's more of a patience, because sometimes I know that I have to understand that in my own life, I struggle with some different things, and just as somebody else would struggle with different circumstances that they are in, I can't just say, man, you've seen the power of God move in your presence. You know, why can't you understand that this is just, you know, this is just one of those things you just got to trust God in. But I struggle with different things just as other people do. But that's the one thing that's good about us as a body, is that we build each other up in order to help each other through those different circumstances that one might struggle in, the other might be strong in. So, I mean, they are bringing back the evidence of God's wonderful land that they have set before him. And as we'll go on in verse 24, it says, the place was called the Valley of Eshcol because of the cluster which the men of Israel cut down there. And they returned from spying out the land after 40 days. Now, they departed and came to Moses and Aaron and all the congregation of the children of Israel in the wilderness of Paran at Kadesh. And they brought back word to them and to all the congregation and showed them the fruit of the land. Then they told them and said, we went to the land where you sent us. It truly flows with milk and honey, and this is its fruit. So they're sitting here and they're putting on display how great of a land this is for these people of Israel. And instead of them saying, we can go and take this land, because obviously the land that God has provided for us is full, it's have abundance, it's got everything that we need. Even if it is going to have some sort of struggle in front of us, we ought to take it anyway, because this is well worth it. This is well worth the pursuit. This is well worth any kind of trouble that we can go into. And as it goes on here, it goes, nevertheless, the people who dwell in the land are strong. The cities are fortified and very large. Moreover, we saw the descendants of Anak there. The Amalekites dwell in the land of the south. The Hittites, the Jebusites, and the Amorites dwell in the mountains. And the Canaanites dwell by the sea and along the banks of the Jordan. So they're listing their causes of disbelief in the promise of God. They're saying, you know, I feel justified in this reaction because of what have I seen? I've seen these giants that are sitting there. I've seen these cities that are fortified that are going to be so hard and difficult for us in our physical and in our own strength to conquer. So they're sitting there thinking about it in their own strength and wondering, well, how in the world are we going to get this? How in the world is this going to happen? And this is where it just came to mind that when a promise is made by an individual, the only person that can really fulfill that promise is them. So in the example of God, God promised to give the land of Canaan to the Israelites. He is the only one that could give the land to the Canaanites, or to the Israelites. Sorry, the land of Canaan to the Israelites. And an example that kind of came to my mind is if I'm sitting there at home and I promise Caleb that I will take him to the park. I am the only one that can fulfill that promise of me taking him to the park. The obligation of making a promise is on that person that made the promise. So the burden of that duty is on that person. So the burden of the duty of fulfilling the promise that God had said, I will give this land to you, is all on him. Just as it is for us in the New Testament, when he says that he will give, you know, when he said that if we will lay hands on the sick, we shall see him recover, it is our duty just to lay hands, not to necessarily have all. I mean, God gives us the power to operate. It is not our physical hands that do it. It is the power that God, it works through us and works through our lives and through our bodies that take that anointing. So the burden of that promise and to fulfill that promise is going to be completely on God. And this is where it takes a difference of being able to stand, understanding things with only your carnal mind or with only your senses, which is what the other 10 spies were doing. But Caleb and Joshua understood that if God said that this is ours, then God will give it to us. So as for us, if we understand that if God made a promise to us, it is God that will fulfill that promise, all we need to do is be in agreement and walk with it and go with it. And just as these people, and just as Caleb, when he spoke up here in verse 30, it says, then Caleb quieted the people before Moses. I want you, before we actually get into that, I want you guys to think about basically the mob scene that's probably going on right now. Because all these people have been brought out of Egypt. They've been brought out into the wilderness. And Moses said, go and spy out this land. And he's been building this up saying, you know, this is the promised land that God has given to you. He's going to give it to you. All you guys got to do, we have to go in and just take it. And these people go out, they tell them it's a great place. You know, I won't begrudge you on that. It's a great place for us to inhabit, but it's going to be impossible for us to do. And all these people are like, well, why didn't you just leave us in Egypt if we're just going to stand out here in the wilderness? If we're all we're going to do is basically come out here just to be defeated. And so these people are going crazy. I mean, there are thousands of people out here just going nuts about the fact that they've been brought out into the wilderness to face what seems like an impossible obstacle for them to receive the promise that God had promised them. What seems to them as being a completely difficult task for them to take on. And then Caleb, one of the very minority people in this place, it says, then Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and take possession, for we are well able to overcome it. That phrase there saying that we are well able to overcome it is basically saying this should be a piece of cake for us. We are well able to take this. We are well able to take these people. We are well able to take this land because Caleb understood that it was God's word that he was relying upon. It wasn't his own physical strength. Caleb knew that if it was just a battle of strength, that it would have been an impossible battle. But it wasn't a battle of strength. It wasn't a battle of our physical demands upon us. It was a battle of trusting in whether God had already won that battle for us, already won the battle for the Israelites. And Caleb knew that. And Caleb was like, we are well able to overcome this because if God promised us something, that means God will deliver upon it. God will take us in there and he will make it an easy path for us. And as we go on here in verse 31, it says, but the men who had gone up with them said, we are not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. And see, that just shows the direct contrast of being a man of faith and a man of having a carnal mind, basically. Being governed by the senses, being governed by your physical members, saying, you know, this is just too tough for me to take on. So the majority of these people were saying, we can't do this. But the minority was saying, it shouldn't be that big of a deal. God has already promised it to us. Why don't we just go up there and take it? Because that's just like it says, if God is on our side, if God is for us, who in the world can be against us? Who in the world can stand in front of us receiving the promise that God has already promised us? If he's promised to give it to us, he will definitely give it to us. Let's go on to chapter 14, and we'll actually just listen to verse 6 through 10. You can just listen to verse 6 through 10. And it's actually when Joshua and Caleb are both in action on this one. It says, but Joshua the son of Nun and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, who were among those who had spied out the land, tore their clothes. And they spoke to all the congregation of the children of Israel, saying, the land we passed through to spy out is an exceedingly good land. This promise that God has given us is not only a great place to be, it is beyond our imagination of how great this promise is. How great this promise is that he has given us. And it says, if the Lord delights in us, then he will bring us into this land and give it to us, a land which flows with milk and honey. Only do not rebel against the Lord, nor fear the people of the land, for they are our bread. Their protection has departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Do not fear them. And all the congregation said to stone them with stones, and now the glory of the Lord appeared in the tabernacle of meeting before all the children of Israel. You see, this is what I think this is just what I love about the attitude of these two, of Joshua and Caleb. Not only are they saying that these people that are in these lands or the land that as God has promised them should be an easy thing for them to do. They say, God will give it to us. You know, this is not a big deal. It is an exceedingly great land. It says, if the Lord delights in us, which obviously he does, obviously the Lord delighted in them if he was going to bring them out of captivity and promise them something this great. He is pleased. He loved these people. And it says, will bring us into the land and give it to us, a land which flows with milk and honey. Only do not rebel against the Lord, nor fear the people of the land, for they are our bread. Gosh, I love that. The fact that they're saying, they look at this circumstance that is sitting in front of them, a challenge that is sitting in front of them, and saying, it is my nourishment to receive what God has given us and to go forth and do battle for the Lord. To do battle for the Lord, knowing that we will devour them because they are just like our nourishment. God has promised to give it to us, and we're going to devour them, and we're just going to tear them apart. You know, that is an attitude of faith. You know, standing there saying, God promised us this. These people, don't even fear them. They're going to be our bread. You know, let's just butter them up and eat them. I mean, it's basically just saying we're just going to devour them on our way to receiving the promise of God. We're just going to receive that nourishment from God. And it says, their protection has departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Do not fear them. So faith is just trusting in what God had said and what God had said he would do. And that is exactly what Joshua and Caleb were doing here. They were standing in the gap for God, saying, this promise is ours. He said he will give it to us. He delights in us. And nothing is going to stand in our way. And any obstacle that is in our way, we're just going to devour it. We're just going to take it by storm, and we're just going to completely take everything that God had promised us. And you see, theirs was something that obviously it was a promise that they were not, I mean, this was a physical thing that they were going to receive, but this was a promise that God had promised to bring them into. And this is a wonderful thing that is about Jesus and about what he has done for us, is that the promises of God are already yes and amen through Christ Jesus, to the point that we don't have to go forth and labor into these things. We just receive from Jesus. We receive the things that are of Jesus, the promises that are of God through Christ Jesus. Now turn to John. We're just going to go to chapter 14. I was trying to find some place that basically just summed up the great things that God has promised us and that Jesus has said he has already given us and that he has given to us for us to have now and not later. So obviously right now in chapter 14 of the Gospel of John, early, he's talking about the gift of the Holy Spirit and of the helper that he's going to deliver to them and the things that are going to happen and things that are to come. But in verse 25 is where we'll start. We'll read through verse 27. It says, these things I have spoken to you while being present with you, but the helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. And you know, when reading through this and reading some different study notes and from what I could find, the peace that Jesus is talking about to them is a very well-known word that they would speak back and forth to one another, but basically saying, in verse 27, shalom. Shalom, I leave with you. My shalom, I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. And I'm going to read off just some of the different, when I was looking and doing a little bit of research on the word shalom, and what all is just wrapped up in that word, how powerful of a meaning that Jesus is saying to his disciples at that moment and saying to us that the promise, not something that not something that is in the future for us to attain, but he says, I leave it with you. Here it is. This is yours. This is yours right now. This is yours to have right now. So this word shalom, the peace is shalom. It actually rounds up to mean completeness, wholeness, health, peace, safety, soundness, prosperity, perfectness, fullness, rest, harmony. I mean, if that's not a loaded word, I don't know what is. But the fact is that Jesus is promising this to us. He said, I leave this with you. I leave you in a way that you can be so full of peace in this world. Why? You can be so full of peace because I give you wholeness. I give you rest. I give you harmony. I give you peace. I give you soundness of mind. I give you health. I give you completeness. Jesus makes us 100% whole. 100% whole in a way that there is nothing else in this world that could do that. Nothing else in this world can give us that comfort and that realization to know that we are 100% in right standing with God. We are whole with Him, and not only are we just whole with Him, but He has given us health and wholeness and welfare and safety. He is our comfort. He is everything to us. That peace that He gives you is a complete picture of who we are in Christ Jesus. We should be peaceful. We should have wholeness and fullness. We should have 100% divine health. Everything is in Christ Jesus. And the reason why I brought that up is because we have a decision of how we react to those promises. Because by listing those off, how many of you guys really would like to have that in your life? Okay? We all have that option to have these things in our life. We have that option to have that peace of God, that shalom in our life in a way that completely will set us apart from the world. However, even if, I mean, if you're into percentages or whatever, but just think about just a fraction of people, of the 12 spies that came back, even though they saw how good it was, they thought it would be too difficult to receive. They thought it'd be too difficult. So 10 out of 12 people said, we can't do this. But 2 out of the 12 came back and said, this is ours. God promised it to us. I'm receiving it. And those are the only two people out of those spies that were able to enter into the promised land. It is very possible for us to be a promised person or a promised people of God, but yet not enter into that divine health, or not enter into different peace, or the peace of God. It is possible for that to happen because we choose not to believe what God has given us. We choose not to believe that those things that He has said in His Word are true. But when we do, when we set our mind in accordance to the Word of God, and put our minds in accordance to what Jesus has promised us, we can receive it because it's not based upon what we do. We just have to believe that it's done. Because we can't earn it, we can't do anything about it, but it is a thing that God has just bestowed upon us for receiving Jesus. And for believing upon Jesus, that peace and that wholeness can be ours. And I know that from not just my experience, but I know that I personally want to be, whether it's a small minority or not, I want to be part of the group that receives and has the peace of God, and has that shalom in my life, and has that wholeness to where I don't lack for anything because God has promised to take care of me, and He always will. So we have a choice of whether to believe in Christ's promise or reject it and say, I can make it on my own, or this would be too difficult of a road. But like we said before, the only thing that you got to give up in this relationship with Christ is you got to give up all the bad things and receive all the good things of Jesus. Amen? We receive everything that Jesus has given us, and that health and that comfort and that deliverance and everything, that joy that He gives us. And it's just a 100% change in the opposite direction that is so much more beneficial than anything you could ever think you're losing. I know that all of us tonight, if anybody was in pain, they came up. They didn't want the pain, right? You guys don't want to be in poverty. You don't want pain. You don't want discomfort. You want wholeness. You want health. You want prosperity. You want those things in your life. And Jesus right here in verse 27 of John chapter 14 says, "Peace I leave with you." That wholeness, that prosperity, I leave with you. I give it to you. It is yours. Just receive it. Just receive it. Believe upon me and I'll do it. Amen. Well, let's just bow our heads tonight. Hallelujah. Father, we just thank you. We thank you, Lord, for the promise that you have given us here in your word tonight. Father, we want to be exactly like Caleb and Joshua, that we will look in front of us, and no matter what the obstacles might seem, we look to you and focus upon God and upon your word and what you have given us, because no matter what stands in front of us, you have already overcome it, because we thank you, Lord, that you are true to your word and that you do exactly what you have said. And you promised us that you left us with this peace. You left us with this wholeness, this shalom peace, Father. We thank you that we will receive it and that we will honor you with it, and we will see the fruits of the Spirit and the fruits of God in our life as a result. In Jesus' name, amen.